Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
I want to talk to you this morning about grace again, right? And to kind of set things up this morning, I would like to share with you that it is likely that I hold the world's record for the most return trips to the hardware store when I'm working on a project. I think I got Chuck Ryder beat. How many of you gentlemen can identify with what I'm talking about? Repeat trips to the hardware store when you're working on a project. How many ladies here can identify with what I'm talking about this morning? Come on now. You are nodding your heads, looking at your fellow or thinking about your fellow or nodding because you personally are a repeat offender when you've got a project to do at your home or your apartment or wherever you live. And for me, it's like I'm so good at this that it's just kind of become part of the project. I build in time to go back to see my friends at Ace Hardware. I actually build that extra trip or two in. I say extra trip or two, sometimes it's 3 to 5. But I've learned to build it in over time. Recently, I think I shared with you recently, our basement flooded back in the spring. And Drew and Pastor Vicky and I, we woke up one morning and we had our crawl space was flooded because a pipe busted outside. And the whole crawl space had filled up with gallons of water, and it was pouring like Niagara Falls over the window into our basement, the basement of our house. And it was early in the morning. Drew was really blessed to get out of bed at 7 o'clock in the morning and just pick up a mop and a bucket and really help us out. Everybody in our neighborhood was dealing with this. One house caught on fire because the water poured in, and it went on the electric box and started a fire in the house. That much rain. It was back in March. And so everybody in town's fighting water that morning. And so Andrew and I, we're bailing out water, right? The ship is sinking. We're bailing out water in the basement. We're doing it manually. We're just getting the shop back out and putting it into the bucket and carrying the bucket up the steps and trying to get rid of the water. And at some point in time, I thought, this is a project. This is a project. We do not have the tools that we need to solve this problem. And on the shelf, I think I've told you in the past the story about the submersible pump that was sitting on my shelf. And I was like, I've had that for dozens of years and I've never used it. And glory, glory, glory. Thank you to Vicky's daddy for giving me that at one point in time in the past. I needed that submersible pump. I needed that pump to pump the water from my crawl space down to the sump pump that will push it out to the house, to the street in front of the house. But I had just a little plastic hose, maybe a little half-inch little rubber hose, Chuck, and I connected that rubber hose on the pump and started it up, and it just blew all over the place, and it's like spraying water all over. Literally a blast. And so I realized I needed a bigger hose to put on the pump so that we could evacuate the water into the sump pump and get the water out. So I'm busy bailing, Drew's busy bailing. I look at Pastor Vicky, and she's all made up and beautiful like she always is at 7 o'clock in the morning. She was ready to go. And I said, can you go to Ace for me and get a bigger hose that's about 12 feet long that I can connect to the pump so that we can get the water out? And so I sent her off on the assignment, and as she was driving out the driveway, I've got a big bucket of water that I'm taking out, and I'm rolling it out the driveway. And as she's leaving, I'm thinking, this is the first of many trips on this project, okay? Just, it's a project, you know? It's one of those situations. And so Drew and I, we're bailing. We're doing yeoman's work, trying to keep the water at bay in the basement. The water's still coming in, and we're bailing it out. And a half hour later, maybe less than a half hour later, Pastor Vicky comes back, and she, you know, she has a hose that's connected to this valve, and it's all screwed in, and she just hands it to me, and oh my gosh, I hooked it up to the pump, and it was the perfect solution. the perfect solution. And here am I thinking, this is the first of many trips. Hooked the pump up to the hose, put the hose in the sump pump, got her rolling, and that thing worked perfectly. Didn't leak at all. It was perfect. And in my mind, I'm starting to become a little self-conscious because I sent my wife to the hardware store for one of my projects that was going to take multiple trips, and she came back and she nailed it. Nailed it on the first visit. Yes. No return trip. And so finally I'm sitting here going, wow, this is really cool. How did this happen? How did you do this, Pastor Vicki? And she goes, I just asked the nice little man at the store what I needed, and he put it all together for me. So, gents, the next time you have a project, ask for help. In that moment, I was very humbled. I was very humbled in that moment, for I knew that had I taken on the assignment and had Pastor Vicki and Drew bail out the basement, I'd be on probably trip number 3. Well, that didn't work. When we are faced with an assignment, when we're faced with an insurmountable problem or task, this morning I want to talk to you about how grace is all about equipping us. Grace is all about equipping us. We're spending some time this month. We're exploring the meaning of grace. It kind of goes right past us. It's a churchy word. It's a churchy concept. And I think sometimes we just take it for granted. We've learned that grace is our salvation. It is a once-in-a-lifetime experience that we can experience every day. And we've learned that grace, last week we talked about how grace is not cheap. Grace, church, is not cheap. It is to be taken care of. It is to be valued and nurtured in our lives as something that is precious. And this week, I want us to just take a couple of moments to focus on the reality that grace is for equipping us. It's for our salvation. It's not cheap, but it's also to equip us in our lives. Because you see, without grace, without the grace of Jesus Christ working in our lives, we are never going to be up to the task. Without grace, we are never going to be able to complete the assignment. Without grace, we are going to find ourselves heading back to Ace over and over again. When God calls us out of sin and into new life in Christ, that assignment sometimes can feel really overwhelming. When I think about my past, when I think about my blemishes on my record, when I think about the red on my record, where I have fallen short, I don't know about you, but sometimes the devil will get to talking to me, and when I think about God's grace working in my life, I just feel so inadequate. I don't feel up to the task. But the good news is that God does not call us out of our sin and then just leave us hanging there by our fingernails. Amen? He doesn't call us out of our sin to be miserable. He calls us out of our sin to be free, to be liberated, to be redeemed. And so how does he do that? So God calls us out of our sin, and his grace doesn't just save us. His grace equips us. His grace equips us. He equips in and through his grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit that is working in us. The Apostle Paul, he kicks off his letter, his first letter to the Corinthian church, with this, he's underscoring this point. You know, if you're writing on a computer and you want to make a point, you highlight it, you bold it, you underline it, you put italics on it because you want people to get the point. And you set it up front. And that's what Paul's doing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you want to turn there in your Bible this morning, we're just at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's about halfway through the New Testament in your Bible, about two-thirds back in your scriptures. But this 1 Corinthians letter, chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, I want to read it for you this morning. We'll have it up on the screen. Paul says to the church, and this is the first point he's making right after he says, hi, how you doing? He says, I always thank God for you, Corinthians, because of his grace. There's that word. Because I thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in Jesus, you have been enriched, equipped, You have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you, if you're in grace, if you're in the grace of Jesus, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you out of sin and into this fellowship with His Son, Christ Jesus our Lord, is faithful. He's not going to leave you hanging. When God calls, God equips. And as we look at the scripture this morning, just for a couple of moments, He equips us in at least four different ways, according to this passage. First of all, God equips us through grace to become Christ-like. Grace is equipping us to become Christ-like. For in Him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and all your knowledge. When we choose to follow Jesus, when you choose to follow Jesus, you are immediately enrolled in training. Did you know that? You make that decision for Jesus, you're immediately, not only are you saved, but you are enrolled in training. There are ways and there are habits that we have accumulated and allowed to become part of our lives that need to be unlearned. This is what it means to repent. It means to stop doing what you used to do. Some people can stop cold turkey. Miracle of the grace of God. Others need to unlearn some of those habits over time, and the Lord works in us. There are ways and habits we have to unlearn, and there is new truth and knowledge in the Word that we need to learn anew and afresh. It needs to become a part of our life. All because of God's grace given to us in Christ Jesus. Grace, crucial ingredient in this classroom that we're signed up for when we decide to follow Jesus. Human beings learn by doing. Most of you probably, you learn something a little bit by reading about it, right? But we know through research that adults and children, we learn 80% more effectively if we're actually doing something. If we're actually kinetically moving and doing something. We become not only by our successes, but we also become by our failures. So by doing, by trying out, by, you know, learning how to walk. We all had to learn how to walk, right? We all had to learn how to walk. And sometimes walking involves falling. I don't think many of us just kind of got up and started trucking along without falling when we were little babies. Grace is about teaching us how to incorporate new things so that we can walk in Christ. And it's by this grace of God that you and I are apprenticed. We are apprenticed into the ways of Christ and into a life of love and holiness. It's something that we have to learn afresh and anew, and it is through the grace of God that equips us to become Christ-like. Grace. Think about the concept of grace. Grace gives us space to learn. Grace gives us space to practice. Grace gives us room to grow. Aren't you thankful that God just doesn't say, you've got to be perfect. You've got to nail it the first try. It is by God's grace that He allows us to grow into Christ's likeness. It is by grace giving us space to not only practice and learn and grow, but also to grace allows us to stumble. Grace allows us to fall. Not intentionally, we're human. Grace allows us to stumble and fall and learn how to get up again. You know, sometimes we sin and we fail and we feel so badly about it that we just want to give up. And we say, grace, there's not enough grace. But friend, I'm here to tell you there is enough grace this morning. And grace says, I don't care if you've fallen and stumbled and you're on your face spiritually speaking. Grace is calling you this morning, get up and press on in this walk with Jesus. Don't give up. Keep getting up. It's like Captain America. He'd get in a battle, some of you comic book friends, and you know, he'd get punched in the face a couple of days by the bad guy, and the bad guy'd say, have you had enough? And Captain America says, I could do this all day. Grace gives us strength to get up off the mat. gives us strength to get off the mat. Good teachers give their students direction and then give them space to practice. That's what grace is all about. Some of us are good students. Others, how would you grade your growth in Christ's likeness this morning as we think about grace? Second, grace. So it helps us uniquely become Christ-like, but it also equips us uniquely. Grace uniquely equips you. Each and every one of you, look around the room, look at all the different faces, all these handsome people. Go ahead, look at them. There's a unique amount of grace and type of grace for each and every face represented in this room. Aren't you thankful that we're not saved out of our old life just to become mindless drones in Christ? We're not mindless drones. We're all made with unique, you were born with unique and diverse traits, characteristics, strengths. Some, you know, we were also born with our weaknesses, right? But we're all made with these unique characteristics and traits and talents. When we choose to accept God's grace as salvation in our lives, Jesus is interested. I want you to hear this morning. Jesus is interested in untapping. He wants to untap the potential that's hidden within you. He wants to tap into that potential. He wants to tap into that potential of God, of who God made you to be in the first place, that has kind of been marred and scarred by sin. He's interested in tapping into your unique gifts. He's interested in tapping into your unique personality. And in the process, he provides grace that is uniquely matched to you. It is tailor-made for you, specifically for who you are and where you're at. Your personality, specifically where you are in this season of life. Because some of you who've gone through a couple of seasons of life know that you need different types of grace at different periods in your journey. Amen? Amen? God's grace is uniquely equipping us where we're at right now in our lives. Verse 7 here. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift. You don't lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Grace equips us with exactly what we need. Exactly what you need for the moment in which you find yourself. Just enough. Just the right amount. Tailor-made for you. No second trips to Ace, Chuck. It's just exactly what you needed. Grace, it is the perfect solution that you need in your life if you're going to accept it. Third thing this morning, this passage points out. Grace equips us to withstand trial and tribulation. Grace equips us to withstand trial and tribulation when we are faced with tough times, challenges. When we are faced with these challenging circumstances, grace equips us to hang in there. Jesus told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." My grace is sufficient. When we are faced with tragedy and loss, I've had a lot of that over the past years, past several years at Maplewood, tragedy, loss, grace holds us up. Grace holds us up. Grace anchors us down so that the waves of life don't wash us away. When we are persecuted or wrongly accused, when somebody tells lies about us, grace, it's by grace that we're enabled to turn the other cheek. It takes a lot of strength to turn the other cheek. When somebody's lying about you, telling falsehoods, and don't even get me started when somebody starts picking on your children. It takes grace. It takes grace to turn the other cheek and to be Christ-like when we are persecuted, when we are wrongly accused. We are called to live a different way when we are wrongly accused or persecuted or treated poorly. That's one of the ways the world tells that we're different, that Jesus is real in our life. Grace is our life preserver. Grace is a safety net. When we feel like we're falling out of a plane aimlessly and life's just out of control, grace is our parachute. Okay? We've been talking about that with the young people over the past couple of weeks. Grace is a parachute. It's because of His grace given to us in Christ that Paul tells the Corinthian church, he will keep you strong till the end. How many of you are feeling strong this morning? He will keep you strong till the end. Maybe not physical strength. Maybe not physical strength. He's not going to maybe remove all your pain or your ailment, but grace will give us an inner strength to withstand the trials of life. Life, not fair some of the time. Seems difficult some of the times. And I'm just really here to break it to you. Jesus doesn't promise to make life easy for people who follow him. That is not in the Bible. That's not what he's here for. But Jesus does promise his grace so that we can become overcomers. So that we can overcome this world. Overcome this world. He promises grace so that we can overcome trials and tribulations. Gives us grace to stand. Grace to give us the courage to stand. Because sometimes it takes courage to take a stand for Jesus. That's grace. He equips us with that grace. Sometimes he gives us the grace for the words to say in a particular situation. And sometimes that grace gives us the wisdom on when to keep our pie hole shut. When I was a kid, I was fascinated. Any Batman fans out there? Yeah, we got several Batman fans. When I was a kid, I was fascinated by Batman's utility belt. You know, Batman's got all sorts of gadgets, and he's got all sorts of things, and he's kind of got something on his belt for any type of challenge that he might face. My favorite was the campy Batman series where he was going up a ladder to get off of a helicopter in the water, and a shark was on his leg, and he pulled out of his cape, off of his belt, shark repellent. I'm like, you had shark repellent in there? What? Grace equips us like Batman's utility belt. We may not feel like we've got it in us. We may not feel like we went to Ace and got what we needed. But when we need it in our lives, we can pull out whatever we need through the grace of God. He will give us the strength that we need to withstand those trials and those tribulations. I ask you, friends, this morning, how is God's grace helping you to withstand trial, tribulation, persecution, false accusation this morning? Finally, fourth thing, and I'll let you go. Paul points out here this morning that grace is equipping us so that we will be found blameless. So that we will be found blameless on the day of judgment. God, friends, God wants you to finish strong. He does not call you out of sin into this new life to set you up for failure. God calls you out of sin and into this new walk with Jesus. He wants you to finish strong. And so he gives us his grace through the power of his Holy Spirit. You may feel like you're in the struggle of your life right now. You may feel like you were just, you know, sharing haymakers with the devil. He just keeps on coming with the big punches left and right, and you're reeling in life from all of the difficulties that are coming at you. But I want you to know this morning, as you're taking those haymakers from the enemy, God has not abandoned you. God is on your side. God is with you, and the grace of God will hold you up. The grace of God is holding you up if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Grace is for all the temporal things that we've talked about this morning, but I don't want us to lose sight of the fact that grace is all about winning the race. Can you say that? Grace is about winning the race. Do it again. Grace is about winning the race. Because of the grace given you in Christ Jesus, that you will be found blameless on the day of our Lord as we choose to walk in this grace every day. Note that? This is as we choose to walk in grace every day instead of choosing to walk some other way. You know, I think sometimes we think that we can accept Jesus into our lives, and that's like a badge we get from the Brownies or the Cub Scouts. We accomplish that task. I've got my Jesus badge. And then we think we can go and live however we want. You know, that's wrong. You earn that Jesus badge. You earn that grace badge every day. It's like every day you put your faith and your trust in Jesus as your Savior, you get the badge. and you wake up the next morning and it's not there. You know? You have to accept his grace into your life every day. As Nazarenes, that's something that we uniquely believe, that we have to walk in grace and that the Holy Spirit will enable us to walk in grace. When we choose every day, sometimes every day we need to choose every hour. Amen? You ever have one of those days? Some days we have to choose every couple of minutes to walk in the grace of Jesus Christ. It is a choice that we make. But God has made that grace available for us to tap into, friends, because he wants you to win the race. He wants you to win the race. We all have an appointment with Judgment Day. It's out there somewhere in our future. It's on everybody's calendar. I can't tell you when it is, but I do know that every day is a fresh opportunity to accept the saving grace of Jesus in our lives and the equipping grace of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can win the race via grace. Amen? You know, when we talk about Judgment Day being out there, for some people, that's scary. That creates, you know, a lot of times people like to avoid that. Let's not talk about those types of things, Pastor. But I'm here to tell you, we all have an appointment with the judge. We're all going to have to give an account of our lives. You are, I am, all of us. There's no one exempt from this. For some, that may feel scary, but for those walking daily in the grace of God in Jesus, Judgment Day isn't something to be feared of. Judgment is Victory Day, when our hopes and our faith will be realized. Judgment is Victory Day, church. Judgment is Victory Day, church. Judgment Day is Victory Day. For all the hardships that you might be going through right now, for all the trials, for all the temptations that we may face, grace is here to equip us to overcome. For all the tragedies that might confront us, grace proclaims with a loud voice, it will be worth it all. Amen. There's a chorus that, I don't know if Maplewood knows it, but it's a chorus that has been sung in churches that I've gone, it will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, life's trials may seem so small. When we see Christ, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. It will be worth it all, church. We're going to be in, can you imagine all of heaven, all of glory singing that song? It is worth it all. It was worth it all. It'll be past tense by then. But I'm just telling you this morning, grace is to equip us for everything we need in this walk with Jesus. Grace enriches us. It's a grace that grows us. It's a grace that holds us. It's a grace that frees us. It's a grace that allows us to truly live in Jesus. And you know what? It's a grace that never runs out. It's a grace, it's never a trip back to Ace. Grace is never a trip back to Ace. Say that with me. Grace is never a trip back to Ace. I love rhymes. I'll become a rap star one of these days. Grace enables us to never have to go back again if we embrace it in our lives.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.